We'll start off with a word of prayer, first of all. Lord, I thank and praise you for the beauty of this day now that you've given to us. We thank you, Father, that your word even tells us that you make the weather and how you're changing the weather around here for us right now, Lord. And Lord, I hope we're not taking advantage of it, but Lord, you certainly have painted a beautiful picture out here for us here, Lord, with the different colors of the trees and things like that. And just everything about us here, Father, what an awesome God that you are. What a great God that you are. You are the only God. And these ones here, Father, that want to worship someone else, a God that they say that kills everybody and things like that, Father, that I guess they wake up and find out, Lord, when they wake up in hell and realize that that was the wrong God. But we thank you for being our God. And we thank you for your word that you've given to us and for just everything about it. We ask for your help here today. We ask your spirit would just take full control. We ask that you would just teach us the things that we need to be taught here today. We ask your Holy Spirit would just enlighten us through your word. We hold that before you. And even the pastor's message that he has for us afterwards there, Father, we just ask that we would be enlightened through it. We thank and praise you for guide and direct us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, go to Judges chapter 16. Just for a little review here, we've been showing you some different things with Samson here. He was born a Nazarite. He was a child that his mother was barren. The Bible tells us, and then a angel of the Lord comes along and tells her that she's going to conceive and she was going to bear this son, and he was going to actually judge Israel. And he was one of the judges of Israel. As a matter of fact, he judged Israel for 20 years. He was, like I say, he was a Nazarite. And Numbers, let me read this to you. I didn't read this to you before. Numbers chapter 6. This is the rules of a Nazarite and a vow that they take. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. And that's what they were doing, separating themselves unto the Lord. And they were to do his service. And the Lord's service for Samson was that he was going to inflict the Philistines, and he was going to be Israel's judge. Verse 3 says, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar or of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is made of the vine tree from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and he shall let the locks of his hair, of his head, grow. And all the days of his separation, all the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or his mother, or for his brother, for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of God is upon his head. And all the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. So it tells you there just a little bit, and there's more there if you want to read it. You can read it there that tells about it. But they weren't allowed to drink nothing with any kind of alcohol or anything like that in it. And his mother was told that. The angel of the Lord told his mother, you don't drink no strong drink or nothing when you're carrying this child, you know, because he's going to be a Nazarite. That's what 13 verse 7 tells us. He's going to be a Nazarite from the day of the womb until of his death. And so he's born into the family. He's raised. He becomes a brute of a man. I showed that to you last week. He's something else. His strength is something else. He's just a brute. Period. If you want to call him, he could say he's the Incredible Hulk of that day. But he was something else, you know, for the strength that this man had. But he was even stronger, if you watch it out and check it out, he was even stronger when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, he was a strong man, but when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it was beyond degree, you know, the strength that he had. But anyhow, he has this strength that he, The first time that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him was when he was going down to Timnath for this woman. He was taking his father and mother down there, and he comes upon this lion, and he kills this lion with his bare hands. I mean, he kills the lion with his bare hands. Said he rent him as if he was a kid, you know. So he kills him with his bare hands. And then when he comes back, and when he comes back, he finds this here honeycomb in this and he takes this honey out of there and even gives it to his mother and father. Now, he's not supposed to be near anything that's dead. That's a Nazarite. Anything that's dead. So, but anyhow, the Lord's with him. You know, this is all the Lord's doing and stuff. And then he comes, he takes this woman to marry her. He ends up making a riddle. And then these guys come to his wife even before that the feast is over. They have a 7-day feast that they have whenever they get married. And it's kind of like a celebration and stuff. And they come to his wife. And she's already hounding him within the 7 days about this riddle. And he gives in. I mean, here's this brute of a man, and he gives in to this. And you're going to see some more here about what we're going to be going into here in 16. But she weeps for him. She says, "You don't love me," or this and that. You know, she was really putting it to him, as some women do. You know, and she was putting it to him, and he gave in. He gave him the riddle. And then he told him that, you know, if you wouldn't have been messing with my wife, you know, you wouldn't have found out this riddle. So he told him about the garments that he was supposed to change, that they were supposed to exchange amongst themselves. And then the next time it says here, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and he goes down to Ashkelon, and he slew 30 men to get these 30 changes of silver. 30 men, just like that. No problem, nothing, you know. Well, he finally comes, his wife then, he leaves, and his wife is given to a companion, the Bible tells us, and he comes back, and her father wants to give him her younger sister. And Samson, you know, he's upset, he's mad, so he grabs these 300 foxes, and he ties these firebrands on them, and he actually burns up all their crops, you know, by setting all these here foxes going out through the fields and stuff, and he does that. Well, then these Philistines are after him. Well, he went back to Judah, and he comes to Judah. Up into Judah, and he stand upon this one rock there that it says in Elam, and these guys come to him, these guys from Judah, 3,000 of them. I don't know why he brought 3,000 of them, but they brought 3,000 of them because they knew that what he was like. And he gave in to them, and he left them tie them up. But it says, the Bible tells us, the next time here, that they tie them up, they give them to the Philistines, they take them down, and they start to hound him a little bit. And it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and these ropes that he had, they were nothing. It says like it was just like sticking them in the fire. They just fell right off of him. He takes the jawbone of an ass and kills 3,000 men with his bare hands. Now, get this. There's no weapons except this jawbone. He has no guns, no swords, no armor, no nothing, and kills 3,000. Now, I don't know if this was their full army that they had with them or not, but if it was, he killed them all. Now, that's what I say. This man had some kind of a strength that was beyond, you know, of being this Nazarite, and God gave them this strength to inflict these Philistines is what it was. And then the last verse in chapter 15 there, it says, "And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Now, let's pick this account up. Here he is. His wife, she's burnt, she's killed because of him going and burning all this standing corn and these vineyards and their olives and stuff like that. His wife's killed. So what's he do? "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her." His lust of his flesh it takes over him completely. You know, here he is. He's set aside for God. He's supposed to be doing God's work, and his flesh is taking over. Well, anyhow, it says, "And it was told the Gazanites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him." the Bible's telling us here that he's with this woman. These Gazanites, he's in Gaza. These Gazanites, they find out that he's there. They want him, you know, and they're gonna their strategy is that they're gonna take him in the morning when he comes out, when he walks out to the, you know, he comes out of this lady's house here. But he already knows this, and but it says here in verse 3, it says, and Samson laid till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gates of the city. Now, get this. The Spirit of the Lord is not upon him now. This is just his strength. And I pointed this out to you before. He took the two posts. He took the gates of the city and the two posts and went away with them, carried them away, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. They say that, you read this up, you check this out, this is from Gaza to Hebron, 45 miles. He carries this, and it's all uphill. And he does this with his own strength. Is there anybody in here tough enough that you think you could do that? Well, you couldn't do that. There's no way. There's no way you could do that. I mean, this guy here, he's something else. But he has to find himself another woman here. Here's what it is. Here's our study now. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Delilah's name means languishing. And I had to look that up. I wanted to make sure what it was. It says, becoming of being feeble, losing strength, pining, withering, fading. In other words, evidently she must be not much of anything, you know, according to what I can tell there, because that's what her name means. But anyhow, he meets this woman. He loved her. At least it says he loved her. Now, whether it was the lust of the flesh taking over again or whatever it was, I don't know. But anyhow, it says, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her. Now, there was these lords, there was five, the Philistines were ruled by five leaders, and they were from all the five big cities that the Philistines had at that particular time. There was one in Ashdroth, Ashkelon, Elkhorn, Gath, and Gaza. So they were different. These men here were powerful men. They ruled the Philistines. It wasn't one ruler, but they had five rulers over them. And they came unto her because they know now that word got to them that Samson is with her. And they want him because of what the infliction he has put upon them so far in his life. You know, and he's been afflicting them and afflicting them and afflicting them. The Bible doesn't tell us just everything here, what's going on, but he's been afflicting them. But anyhow, they come to her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Does that sound like anybody else in the Bible that you've read about already? Who is it? Judas. Judas Iscariot. Well, she's mentioned as the Judas Iscariot of the Old Testament. Now, isn't that a name to give to you? I mean, that would be a name to carry around, that you were the Judas Iscariot of the Old Testament. And she's looking at this quick rich theory. Get rich quick, you know, and I believe that she's looking at the money because, like I said, her name was languishing. She had nothing, and now she has a chance to make something of herself, and she can make some good money here. Just like everything that's given up, you know, today, you know, you have people that's trying to take your credit card numbers and stuff like that. There, Ben and Jennifer, you both went through. You know what you went through there. Somebody stole your money. You have this kind of stuff. You have this, you know, people can't work for a living anymore. We got to sit back, you know, and steal something from somebody else. Get rich quick, you know. And today, you know, when I was younger, you know, when you talked about thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, that seemed like a lot. Then as I got older, millions of dollars seemed like a lot. Now you're talking about billions of dollars. And pretty soon, it's not going to be too long, it's going to be called trillions of dollars. You know, these people that make have all this money, that I think his name's Gates, that has this here Microsoft. I forget how many billions of dollars he's worth. They say he's supposed to be the richest man right now in the world. And there's somebody that's very close to him that has real close to the same amount of money, billions of dollars. I'm talking billions, not millions, not thousands, not hundreds, but billions of dollars. It'll soon be trillions of dollars. What's that? Yeah. Oh, is he now? The last thing that I read about him, it was the billions. It was very close to that, so it probably went over the top already now. So. Oh, somebody did now? Well, there you go. So you see it, you know. It's the get-rich-quick theory. And that's what she's got in her mind here. That's what she is looking at. She's looking at the money. She's not looking at love. She's not looking at devotion. She's not looking at anything like that. She's looking at the money situation here. And they want her to entice him. She can do it. She's a woman. She can do it. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to get into it, but you know what I'm talking about. You can entice your husband. Even Mrs. Connor can entice her husband. And he's the preacher. She knows how to do it. Believe me, she knows how to get him around her little finger, you know. Oh, honey, you can do this for me. Okay, I'll do it. I'm just picking, so it's all right. But she is. She's to entice him, and so that they want to afflict him, it says. Entice and afflict. It goes together, you know. They want to make a spectacle out of him. But anyhow, here we go. It says in verse 6, "And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Now, I'm sure at this particular time, nothing should be really going through his mind. She's just asking him about his strength. She can see that he's some kind of a man, you know, and she wants, she's just asking him, you know, where's your strength lie? You know, where's your strength lie? Well, Samson, you know, he doesn't tell the truth. He makes up a bunch of lies here, you know, and it might have been a good thing. But anyhow, verse 7 there, it says, "And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withes, that were never dried, then shall I be weak as another man." These green withes, I checked that out, and they were tent cords they were used for, and bowstrings. Now, I don't know what their bowstrings were like then, but I know what our bowstrings are like today. Charles, bowstrings are pretty tough, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Compound bows and stuff like that, and these here, you know, just all these bowstrings, I mean, they are tough. You know, they got to be tough to take what they take, you know, the pressure and stuff that's on them. And then for you, you know, when you pull them back and all that kind of stuff. And if you ever got snapped on the arm, on the side of your arm, which I have already with my bow, baby, does that hurt? I mean, that hurts. Sometimes it brings tears to your eyes because it hurts so bad. But they can hammer you. And then the worst part about it is you do it once and you think, that ain't going to happen again. And bam, it gets you again. They hurt. I mean, they are tough. And that's what they tie him up here with. She ties him up with. Well, it says, then the lords of the Philistines, these here top guys, brought her to her seven green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. So she ties him up with them. Now, I don't know how she enticed him to tie him up with these here stupid things, but anyhow, she does it, you know. And I don't know if she played a game with him or what, but she did it. She got him tied up. It says in verse 9, "Now there were men lying in wait." Now, these men that were lying in wait, they were waiting to see if this was going to work so that they could report back to these lords, you know, that this happened and took place. You know, that, okay, he's tied up, you know, we got him. And that's what these guys are laying in wait for. But it says, "Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withe as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known." Uh-oh. He's got to be in big trouble now. He lied to her. you know. And, you know, these guys were waiting. These lords were waiting. She's looking at this 1,100 pieces of silver. And there it is. He lied to her. He got up. He broke them just like nothing. It was nothing. Verse 10, and Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." Can you see her right now? Can you see her going to him, you know, and turning on the tears and telling, "Oh, man, you mocked me. You know, where is this here? You know, where is your strength lie?" And that's what she's doing here. You know, she's enticing him. Well, now, this, you would think after the first time that there'd be something, he would figure out there's something up. He's got to be dumber than a stick. You know, to even think that after the first time, she's after him again. Well, she tells him that she mocked him and stuff. Well, in verse 11, and he said, "If they bind me with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Now, how dumb can she be? How dumb can these lords be? What happened in chapter 15, when they tied him with new ropes? He ended up killing 3,000 men. He busted them like that. Either they never heard of it, or they're dumber than a stick themselves to even think about this, you know. So what do they do? So Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liars in wait. There they are. They're waiting to see. There's two times here that these liars in wait are waiting to see, abiding in the chamber. And he break them from off his arms like a thread. Spirit of the Lord isn't upon him. This is just his own strength. Matter of fact, I think that he's in a backslidden condition at this particular time. He's away from the Lord. He is away from the Lord, you know. But anyhow, here she is. She's trying to entice him. She's trying to deceive him. She used her outward beauty to mask an ugly heart. And she has this ugly heart. Well, what happens? Verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto hast thou mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, now here's the third time. She comes to him and she's asking him three times, what's the matter with him? What is the matter with him? I mean, you check this out in just whatever you want to check it out on. You can look it up on the internet. You can look up. They can't figure out why he is so enticed with this woman that he will let her come to her three times. And not only three, but you'll see the fourth time here, he finally gives in. But three times, and they can't figure out why. I can't figure out why. I think the lust of his flesh has taken over so bad that you know that he just wants this woman so bad, and he'll do practically anything. Well, tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web." So she's to weave the seven locks of his head. What's seven mean in the Bible? Pastors told us. What's that? Say it, somebody. Completeness, completeness, and fullness. It's perfection. The number. He has seven locks. You definitely know that he's set aside to do the Lord's work. He has seven locks here, and she's to weave this here into a web. Like, and it says, and she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awake him out of his sleep and went away with the pin and the beam and with the web. So it happens again. The third time it happens again. Now, you would think there'd be something more important than his strength here in their life here, that as being a man and a woman together. But it's not. She tries a new approach now. So she does. Verse 15 here. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say, I love thee?" Men, You never heard that, did you? I know you've never heard them words. His first wife did the same thing to him. She said to him, you know, where do I have it here? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost hate me, but and lovest me not. There it is. You don't love me anymore. You don't love me anymore, Samson. You don't love me anymore. You don't want to tell me what's in your heart. You know, you don't want to love me anymore. And like I say, she's trying a new approach here. And she says here, when thine heart is not with me, how canst thou say thou lovest me when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. What's the big deal, Samson? What's the big deal of your strength here? You know, this is a woman that you love. She's supposed to love you, you know. The strength doesn't mean nothing, you know. Well, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, pressed him daily, constantly after him, constantly badgering him, constantly, you know, doing these things, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. He couldn't take it anymore. Pastor, Proverbs 27:15, Mrs. Codner, Proverbs 19:13, Van, Proverbs 21:9, and Bunny, Proverbs 25:24.
Proverbs 27:15, continue dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike.
Proverbs 19:13. Proverbs 21:9.
It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house.
And Proverbs 25:24.
It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house.
This is what she was. She was just like continuous dropping of water. They say that they take just a continual dropping of water for prisoners just to drive them nuts. Just this drip, 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 drip. And he says that's what a contentious woman's like. Here she is. She's after him. It's just like that continuous drip, drip, drip with Samson. And he can't take it anymore. It drives him crazy.
Samson, I don't know, this was probably discussed last week, but the man married wrong. I mean, he's down in the camp of the Philistines. He's not marrying an Israelite woman. He's not sticking with God's people. And he's got the message that we've got today, which is just what he's dealing with. I mean, there he is, down in the Philistines' camp. He's completely out of the will of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know God is sovereign. We can hash that out. But really, he's out of the will of God here. He should be marrying an Israelite woman. His parents were vexed. They were upset about the whole thing. We probably talked about that last week.
Yep.
You know, and so, and I fear that's one of the biggest things. We don't marry, Christians need to marry Christians, that's what I'm saying. And so he's just a disaster waiting to happen here. It's just a matter of when the hammer's going to fall.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you're saying that there, you know, and we did discuss that last week. His mother and dad didn't want him to go down there in the first place with that first wife. They wanted him. They said, can't you find someone amongst our people? And he didn't do it. He didn't want to listen to him, you know. And so he goes to the Philistines and he gets a first wife, and she does the same thing to him here to get stuff out of him. And now he has the same thing. And you talk about it. Today, Satan, you know, you say about Christians should marry Christians. But Satan today, I'm telling you, he is working overtime. Overtime. He makes Christianity look like it's nothing. You listen to them talk on the radio about this. Christianity, oh, well, you know, it's so-so. And you have all these other religions. And you can't do nothing, you know, without having these other religions do something too, you know. You know, your Christianity. I got a question for you. You better pray for your pastor. I don't know what he did to get the Satan mad, but he's got him ticked. And I'm sticking right behind him. I don't care. He's got, if you have been reading, he's got lots of articles being written in the paper about him just because of visiting and telling people that homosexuality is wrong. So pray for him, because the devil's attacking him, and you know where the next place he attacks? The church. Get ready. Ever since I've been reading that stuff, buddy, he's in my prayers every morning. He's been there before, but every morning he gets it now. So, Satan's after us. Satan's after. And he's trying to put everything down, you know, that's this church stands for right now. And that's fine. You know, that's fine. You know, the devil, he's working overtime. Just not in that, but he's working overtime with Christians, Christian families, and all these kinds of things. He's after them. He's after the Christian people. With this ISIS and all that stuff that's going on, and that, just wait. Just wait, people. You think that these other people are having tough times? Just wait. They're trying to get in here. They already caught 10 of them that's tried to get in. But how many more is already here? How many more is going to try to take over things? You see. Get ready. Be prepared. I'm so glad that at least we had the NRA that stood up for us, that we can still keep our guns, because we got a fight coming on our hands. You better start stocking up on ammo, believe me. I know this goes over the internet, and I don't care. That's tough. But you better start stocking up, because we're going to have it one of these days. Get ready. We're going to have to fight for our freedom. So we are. It's coming. And I think that's the only reason that we haven't been hit yet, because they know there's lots of people that have lots of guns and lots of ammunition right now here in the United States. And we shoot back. So, but anyhow, and I have myself a couple guns that as soon as I see them coming down my lane, I can touch them off right there. I'm not going to mess around. They ain't going to get from me face to face. They start coming, they're getting it. So. But you're going to have to. You know, I'm afraid that that's what's coming. Christianity. You know where ISIS is going next? Just wait. Watch. Israel. That's the whole idea of this whole situation. That's this whole idea. If you know anything about your Bible, that's why Russia's trying to take over where they're trying to take over. You know what that is? That's a straight line down to Israel. What did the Bible say about them coming from the north? It's a straight line there. It's coming. Get ready. But anyhow, back to this here. We got off on a rabbit trail there. But, you know, Christianity is being attacked today, buddy, big time. So, his soul's vexed unto death. She's hounded him and hounded him and hounded him. And he just can't take it anymore. It says that he told her, verse 17, all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak as like any other man. Now she knows that he is telling her the truth. She knows it now. She's got him. She's got his heart. You know how she knows it? Look at this. Verse 18, and when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he showed me all his heart. Then the lords came up unto her, and what did they do? And brought the money, and brought money in their hand. Right, here's the money, honey. You're going to get it if this is the true thing. She already knows it. They brought the money. It says, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man and said, and she caused him to shave off the locks of his head, and she began to afflict his strength, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon me, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, well, first of all, let me stop right there. When they cut them locks off his head, the vows was broken. That Nazarite vow was broken. Because remember, that's what I read to you back there in Judges, that they would, the vow would be broken, and you had to shave that, you had to shave their head, their head had to be shaved, you know, for the vow to be broken. And here the vow is broken. And then she says, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Here's a relationship of a man to God in living in sin. The Lord leaves him. That's what happens when you're in sin. That's what happens with your relationship with God when you're in sin. He leaves you. Samson, God left him. He didn't realize that. And they overtook him. Verse 21, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with feathers of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Now here he is. His eyes are put out. He's grinding. He's in a mill. He's grinding. And this was only for animals and things like that. That's all it was used for, you know. And he's doing all these things here now. "Howbeit," the Bible says, "howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves to get them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god." I think that great sacrifice was him. I think that they were bringing him there to sacrifice him. Because their god of Dagon was a god of vegetation. That's what he's supposed to be for. And of grass. And of fertility. That's what Dagon meant. That's what their god was. So they're bringing this sacrifice to their god. "And to rejoice for they said, our god hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god and said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." They already knew he slew a pile of them. They already knew that. They knew what was going on, and they were having a great time about this. "Well, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him before the between the pillars." Now here he is. He's brought in here. They're just making fun of him. That's all they're doing. They're making, you know, making him do stupid stuff, and they're making fun of him. "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." They took this little lad because Samson was so big. He had arms like you couldn't believe. He had shoulders you couldn't believe. He had abs like you couldn't believe, like everybody's there after today, you know, and stuff like that. Here he is, this big man, and they have this little lad holding him by the hand, guiding him around, making fun of him. That's exactly what all that is about. They're making fun of him. Well, verse 26, "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon thy house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there." You get that? Those lords that brought that money to her, they were all there. These five lords that were rulers of the Philistines were there. "And there was upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport." I don't know if you want to call it a temple or what you want to call it. It was made the way that what I read about it was. It's kind of roundish like. It's built up high, and that's what they called a roof where the people would sit and watch, you know. And they say that, you know, these pillars that where he was at was the main pillars that held this building up. And they say that. Now, he's in Gath, but they say that today they have found a place where these pillars, you know, they were like on, I don't know what they had back then. I'm going to call it concrete. It wasn't concrete, but they say they found a place in Tel Aviv where there was one time a building that stood that had two pillars like that, you know, where the bases, they found these bases with this concrete. Just to pass that on to you, I thought that was interesting that they found. So there must have been more than one, he says, you know, put me where these pillars are. He's telling this lad, and Now the house, like I said, the house was full of these. And in verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, now he says, O Lord, remember me. Finally, he realizes, remember me, Lord. Remember who I am? I'm Samson. I'm your judge of Israel. I was your judge. You know, I'm backslidden, but remember me. You know, David said the same thing. Remember me, Lord, you know, because of his sin. But he says, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, this only once, O God, that I may once at once avenge of the Philistines of my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was bore up, and of the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So died they which he slew at his death more than they which he slew in his life. Now get it. These lords of these Philistines were there. They were also killed. Everybody that was here, these people, them 3,000 men and women, plus these lords, plus whoever else, who knows, plus Samson himself, he killed them all. Everybody died. Everybody died. And then it says, then his brethren in the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshrah in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. He was their judge. But you see, he went through all this because of one woman, Delilah. I told you the first one. She used her outward beauty to mask an ugly heart. She was dishonest and insincere. She had no fear of the true God. She used sex as a weapon. She had temper tantrums when she didn't get what she wanted. She betrayed her man for money. She was covetous and is, as I said, the female Judas of the Old Testament. She betrayed Samson with a kiss for money, and she destroyed the man whom she loved. And Samson lost his physical sight, his freedom, his dignity, and his life because of this woman. Now, ladies, we're going through, and I'm showing you, and this here is the first real one where, you know, that I feel that really took advantage and tore her man to pieces for money. She could care less about him, you know. And that's why we're going through these, just to show you some of these different aspects of some of these women that what they did was completely wrong. Wrong. That's why I took you clear back to the beginning of this to show you how foolish and his stupidity and stuff that he did. But she really added to it because he fell right for it. You know what I mean? That's why I tried to show this all to you, the whole thing there, instead of just part of it. Because, you know, that way you can get the mindset. You can see just how foolish he was. But yet, I mean, she took advantage of him. Okay, any other questions or comments? We're going to stop right there. That's the end of this one. Okay, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for showing us in your word some of the different aspects here, Lord, of some of the women that did some of the foolish things with their husbands and with their mates and things like that. And so we just ask, Lord, that we would just learn from it, that you would just show us some of these things that you're trying to show us here, Father. Enlighten us through it. We praise and thank you for it all now. In your name we pray. Amen.